Hi everyone, hope you're well. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. An unfortunate thing occurred last week. Two of my guests who I had booked in for the show actually had to cancel. It's just down to work commitments. Obviously, it's still in its early stages, so I'm trying to create a backlog of interviews so that I'll never have to miss a week. But at the moment, it's just proven a little bit problematic around work, etc. But I'm doing my very, very best. But I didn't want to leave you without any content, so I've decided to pull a snippet from a longer piece of audio content that I created some time ago around solopreneurship and being a creative individual. And hopefully this will provide some value just as a bit of a stopgap. And I will hopefully be able to produce more content like this. So, in order to maybe be able to put out two podcasts a week, one of them will be an interview and one of them will be around conceptual pieces and articles that I may have written myself. So do let me know if you enjoy this, because if you do, I'll be able to produce more of them. And hope you enjoy it. Thanks everyone. Bye for now. Chapter 5, Strategies. When I was growing up, I used to think that having great ideas was the most determining aspect of being successful. However, I've since worked out that taking action is much more important. It doesn't matter how many great ideas you have lying around in sketchbooks or bottled up in your head. If you want to make an impact, you have to make them happen. As I said earlier on in this audiobook, I really do think that creative people with specialist skill sets are in a fortunate position to capitalize on solopreneurship because they have the skills to execute. Not only that, but all the tools you need are now way more accessible than they were 15 years ago. Nowadays, for less than £10,000, you can pretty much create your own home media company. There are platforms where you can create beautiful websites without any need for coding for less than £60 a year, and even our phones are good enough quality to record on. With this in mind, there really are no excuses for not taking action. When you think about all the iconic people you look up to and admire, the likelihood is that you first found out about these people because of some form of outward communication. Be that a book, a video, a TV show, etc. So getting over the hurdle of putting yourself out in the world is essential if you wish to be influential in any capacity. Unless you're Mark Zuckerberg, it's highly unlikely that you'll get any level of notoriety by staying in your bedroom and not doing anything. When people ask me how I have the confidence to do this, they don't believe me when I say I'm really an introvert at heart. I'm more than happy in my own company and spend vast amounts of time on my own. I do also understand that if I want to make any change, it's important to be able, at times, to express my ideas and opinions with other people. Chapter 5, The Growth Strategy. You can learn a tremendous amount about how to establish yourself as a solopreneur by reverse engineering the general thesis behind brand growth. The main difference between a corporate and personal brand is that most corporate brands are faceless. This is because, unlike humans, logos, when initially created, don't have any intrinsic characteristics or values that could feasibly create bias against a product or service. The associations and beliefs are then carefully crafted through years of sustained exposure to advertising messages and compelling taglines that the brand owners want people to associate with their company. After establishing a logo with a carefully crafted message, brands then spend significant sums of money to learn their audience's behaviours, in order to make sure that their marketing efforts are effective in building trust, which in turn helps them to build a core audience whose aspirations and interests resonate with that of the company. This connection makes it a lot easier for brands to raise awareness or directly notify their audience when they have new goods and services to sell. Finally, corporate brands install systems and automation in any key but non-client-facing parts of the business, so they can repeat the process until they reach a critical mass with their target audience. At this point, they'll either be satisfied that they dominate the market, or they'll look for adjacent markets that provide a logical next step for them to explore for additional custom. This is how brands still make money today, and everything they do can be boiled down into just a few key points: mass recognition, high levels of trust, and strong values. If any brand has a good amount of these three things, along with products that people want to buy, then they're in good stead to build a loyal audience and be financially successful. As mentioned, the only difference between a corporate and personal brand is the fact that it's faceless. The exact same set of rules apply to you as an individual as they do to a brand.
The only difference being is that you possess the value instead of a logo. The obvious downside to this is that you can't easily sell the company, but you can apply these same principles to establish an audience that resonates with your values long term. The whole idea with solopreneurship is that you're not building something you intend to give away or sell. You're creating something that you can enjoy for the rest of your life. Chapter 5, Online Strategy. Growing an audience is a difficult task. You need to think about what it is people like and engage with. Nowadays, ads don't work quite like they used to. People read reviews about virtually everything before they part with their cash. So it's important that you maintain high standards at all time. Remember that every time you post something online, you're taking up a tiny microfragment of that person's mind, which is more than can be said for 99.9% of everything else on the internet. Considering the amount of information we have to take in on any given day, and the amount of people we meet, work with, and have to think about, I'm grateful to anyone who retains even the tiniest fragment of thought to me and my endeavours, which is why I'm so passionate about making those messages as valuable for those consuming it as it is for me putting it out. As I've said countless times in this audiobook, the game really is value, value, value. How can you do things in a remarkable way that brings value to others and gets them talking about you? Sometimes to build an audience, you have to do things that feel counterintuitive, like not bothering people who don't want to be bothered. If you're a Bible preacher trying to convert people to religion, don't go to a football game to try and convert them. There may be more people, but you haven't considered that those people don't want to listen to you. If this genuinely was your goal, I'd suggest you're much more likely to convert people where people's ideals are being questioned, such as a rehabilitation centre or a prison. The point is, find people where they're most susceptible to embrace your offering. When you shop for something online, you'll notice that for the next few days, all the banners surrounding your web browser will relate to the product you were previously viewing. Successful marketers know that because you've viewed a product recently, it means you're more susceptible to being convinced of buying that product at that moment in time than any other. As someone trying to build a brand and sell something to a specific audience, you need to do the same. You need to look for opportunities to position yourself where people find what you're doing valuable, especially at times when they're most likely to buy. So how do you make sales without annoying people? Here are the 5 most effective strategies I've used and that I'd recommend to others. Strategy 1, engagement. Prior to selling any product, you need to first build genuine trust with your audience. And the best way to do this is to engage with them directly. You need to know where they spend their time and which platforms have the highest view counts. This is referred to as the attention graph. The attention graph doesn't necessarily have to be online, but online is where you'll find captive attention in abundance. Wherever the attention of your audience is, you need to have a presence. You should also be putting in the work to make sure you're building grassroots relationships with people, getting involved in the conversation, and offering advice where helpful. A good strategy to amplify your social reach is to try out new platforms and establish yourself long before they reach critical mass, with the hope that in time they become a new staple network and you can capitalise on your early momentum. If you do this, try reaching out to the founders or community managers. Founders are often looking for people to help them champion their product and help them to spread the word about their new platform. They can see that you're keen, they will sometimes support you in return for your valuable input, which will only give you more momentum if the platform takes off. Strategy 3, cross-pollination. One of the very best ways to amplify your reach and to meet new customers is to tap into pre-existing customer bases where you can add value to people's audience. By identifying several people at various levels of influence, you can start to reach out to the kinds of people you want to talk to and suggest reasons why you think it would be a win-win for you to collaborate. The likelihood of you getting many yeses at first is slim, but keep sending emails and making calls until you get a few breaks. When the opportunities arise, make sure you go into the situations with high levels of passion, enthusiasm, and interesting ideas, so that the next time you want to reach out to an influential person whose audience you want to provide value for, you can point to other interesting content you've produced to improve your chances. Strategy 4, recall. Before you do on social media is post pictures of your food and you on holiday, then unless you do that very, very well and your goal is to establish yourself as a lifestyle blogger, then it doesn't provide much value at all. However, if you occasionally post pictures of what you do for a living, preferably in a visually intriguing way or with a description that makes it interesting, then what you're actually doing is just offering everyone that follows you a slight reminder of what you do, which in turn could manifest into a huge opportunity from someone who had completely forgotten what you do until they saw that really interesting video or picture you put up online. Remember to make sure to engage with everyone who takes the time to reply to your message, and any positive contribution and use of time to consume or engage with your content should be appreciated. And you can create a strong bond by taking the time to reply or leave a thank you. Strategy 5, lifetime value. I left this one till last because for me, while it is a great strategy, it's not quite the same as building an audience from the ground up. Because lifetime value refers to the predicted amount of profit you can expect to make from a customer on average over the lifetime of them interacting with you. You can work out this figure by running test advertisements to see how much you need to put in before you get a sale. This is called your customer acquisition cost. In theory, if your customer acquisition cost costs less than the price of your product, then you just need to pump the funnel to make more money, and you can streamline the process to make your acquisition cost cheaper and cheaper. While this is a great strategy for making money, it's not a long-term strategy unless you believe the product you're selling is so good that people will continue to stick around for more as a result. This is certainly one of the most effective strategies for making money online, but you should always remember that the aim is to create a lasting relationship that should continue long after the first sale or interaction. I hope some of these strategies come in handy when you attempt to build your own audience. And in the final part of this chapter, I'm going to outline a few theories for amplification that should streamline your work day to day. Chapter 5, Amplification. The secret to making things happen is to increase your output. The way I do this is to incrementally chip away at things every day, and over time it mounts up. Most people struggle to get things done because they lack focus and self-discipline, and they feel limited by the number of hours in any given day. This can be especially true if you're doing this as well as working a day job. To help you overcome this, I've outlined a few strategies I've managed to successfully implement into my own life to become more efficient. Corporate brands build their businesses on top of a system that is designed to scale. Many small businesses waste tremendous amounts of time repeating the same processes over and over again, instead of just creating a system to deal with every eventuality that they face on a day-to-day basis. People are put off by systems because from the offset it sounds boring. But the truth is, if worked into your operations correctly, it can save huge amounts of time. Look at everything you do day-to-day and work out what could be systematized so that you can reserve your energy and free up your time to do the things that really matter to you. Strategy 2, automation. Automation is a great tool if used correctly. The general rule of automation is that it's fine to automate anything that doesn't require human interaction. As I said before, you're trying to build superfans, and you can't do that with automated replies. For myself personally, I use automation to deliver content that I post on one platform across all the other relevant platforms automatically, and then I'll follow up personally with any messages I receive. This means I'm still building a personal relationship that builds trust with my audience, but I'm not wasting hours of the day posting on all the various platforms. Strategy 3, delegation. It's not uncommon for people to want to do everything for themselves. After all, most of us believe that no one can do it quite as well as we can, and oftentimes we're right. Most business owners are used to paying an accountant to deal with their finances and a lawyer to deal with any legal issues. Yet we find ourselves spending hours creating things that could be outsourced at a fractional cost. If you wish to grow, you need to double down on what you do best, and in order to do that, you're going to have to get used to delegating tasks to other people. If it's possible that you could earn more money doing something else by paying someone else to do the task you wouldn't be earning money doing, then that is generally worth doing for your long-term growth. Strategy 4, mental toughness and self-discipline. My second to last tip is an unpopular one, but it's probably my best time-saving device. I don't follow other people on social media, and I rarely engage in any time-wasting activities, like listening to music watching TV, or going out drinking. I much prefer using this time to learn new things or work on projects I'm passionate about, rather than seeing my friends' holiday snaps or spending time listening to music or getting caught up with other overindulgences. I use this time productively. There's definitely been times when my friends refer to me as a fun sponge because I refuse to go out with them, but I'm okay with that. It's not how I define myself and it's not my idea of fun. I know there are many other people who also don't like these kinds of things, but get dragged along for the ride because they lack the self-discipline and strength to say no. But if you really want to make a difference in your life, these are the kinds of sacrifices you'll have to make in the short term to give you the time you need to execute on your goals. It's rare to find any successful people who haven't made numerous sacrifices in their life to get to where they want to go, and unfortunately, neither you or I are an exception. Strategy 5. Friends. As with many things, you'll find there's normally a yang to most yings. So to counter my previous point, you'll find that in life, many of the greatest opportunities will arise through the people you know, your real friends, not digital ones. Your circle of friends have tremendous influence on you and the way you think, so it's still important to be selective over who you spend the majority of your time with, and to really invest in making those relationships mean something, as opposed to just an interaction over the internet. Life can get pretty intense for everyone at times, and you should use the opportunities to catch up with friends as a much-needed release, as well as building some of the strongest and most rewarding relationships you'll have in life. One of the best techniques I try and use is to use my meals as a way to meet new people and catch up with friends, so to cultivate meaningful relationships that can lead to new things in the future. Nothing quite substitutes a face-to-face interaction over food for building quality relationships between people. When I meet students, I find that many of them put their heads down after graduating and concentrate on carving their own path, and I was no different. What I've come to realise is that over time, every one of the friends you study with and grew up with each progress in their own life as well, and you soon find yourself in a position where opportunities can arise to share work amongst friends who would never have been possible when you started out. I'm sure this is where the line, "it's not what you know, it's who you know," comes from. And one of the most important things you can do if you wish to bring as much opportunity your way is to, wherever possible, hook up friends and associates with opportunities or people that can get them closer to where they want to go in life. Don't do these things with the intention to get anything in return, but just know that at some point, it may be you who's seeking an opportunity, and people are always prepared to help other people who have been generous with their time or helped them to get a leg up in the past. If you did nothing but implement this kind of thinking in your life as a result of listening to this audiobook, you'd unlikely reach financial freedom, but I'm pretty confident your life would get better as a result.